Well, I'm Allison. I'm a compulsive overeater, food addict. I usually identify myself as a food addict, and I'm bulimic. And although I haven't practiced bulimia for 42 years, I did it for 12 years, and I thought that I had invented it because it didn't even have a name that I knew of for years. It was just this thing I invented or figured out to do to keep from becoming more overweight. So I grew up in a middle class family. My dad was a surgeon, and we lived in a small town in Oklahoma. And my family's attractive and slim. And I don't know exactly how I picked it up. I probably saw my dad make a face or maybe a small comment about an overweight waitress or something. But when I was 13, I wasn't overweight, by the way. I'm 5 feet tall right now, and I was 5 feet tall then, and I weighed 100 or 105, maybe 105. And my mom came in and sat down on the bed and said, "Your father's noticed that you're getting dimples on the back of your thighs." And it was as if somebody had pre was pressing me into the bed, and it was just shame. And I felt like I was letting everybody down. And I said, "Well, what can I do?" And she gave me the Stillman diet, which makes the Atkins diet look like a picnic, because the Stillman diet is not one single carb, 8 glasses of water a day, all the meat you want, and a couple of kinds of white cheese. And I did that for about 2 days. I did that for about 60 hours. And in the middle of the third day, I just started binging and I gained weight. And then I gained weight and I became overweight. And I've heard other people say that they went on some kind of restriction and that triggered them to, and that's what happened. Because I was never concerned about my weight or my body. Funny thing, the summer before I was at a camp. Well, let me just say, so what happened? I started binging and I started overeating and I started gaining weight. In the eighth, that was in the 7th grade, and in the 8th grade, I weighed 120 by then, and I wasn't overweight, but I thought I was, and my family thought I was, and I figured out how to make myself throw up so I wouldn't gain too much weight, and I started having binges where I would have like a whole entire cookie sheet full of cinnamon toast. After school, I was in junior high, so I got out an hour earlier than my younger siblings, and I would get home and have time enough to make, a huge amount of food and then throw it up before my sister and brother came home from school. And for a few years, it was just a way to keep from being overweight. At some point, I realized I'm going to throw up anyway. Why not just eat it all, And then I started just eating everything on the plate. And by the time I got to like the last 4 or 5 years of this, when I was in college, I would go on huge long binges that lasted several hours and consume an enormous number of calories. And by the time I got full enough, my ritual or my cycle, I would never just like overeat a little bit at a meal and run throw up. My ritual and my cycle became that I would try to eat a normal meal, and then something would trigger me during the normal meal, and I would go on a binge, and maybe 2 or 3 hours later, I would be throwing up, and I would get a lot of those calories because it took me so long to get to the point where my ritual said I can throw up now that I wasn't thin. I ended up, I was very active during those years. I was a ballerina in a small town, so I'm not like a serious ballerina. Okay, no man, no lifting, no man, but toe shoes and all that. And I was very active, and I was a choreographer for high school things, and I was in band and orchestra and all those kind of things. One of the things they say in the step one in the OA 12 and 12 is that we are people that have a lot of willpower. This is not a disease that is controlled by willpower. I had a lot of willpower. I did a lot of things. I just didn't have any control over the food, and I went to I was in college, and I was in a program where we had to do rotations at a hospital, and one of the patient's dad was talking about this thing, Overeaters Anonymous, and I remember thinking, this would have been in the fall. It was in October of 1978, and I remember thinking, that might work for me because I'm a foodaholic. And I went to my first OA meeting that night, and at that time I was living in Norman, Oklahoma, and that's where the meeting was. And I went to that meeting every week for 2 years probably, and I loved it. I don't know what we talked about. There was a gal that was visiting from California, and where OA was booming, and I remember she came and reamed us because we weren't doing things right. I realize now we probably were sitting around talking about food and cross talking and all sorts of stuff. I remember I moved to Oklahoma City, and I tried to find an OA meeting up in Oklahoma City, and I found one, and it was so boring. They were talking about the steps and read the big book. And I didn't want that. And so I laugh about that because that makes me think, well, what were we talking about in that meeting in Norman? I drifted away from OA, and I was able to, after 12 years of bulimia, I was able to, through my own mechanisms, I put down the bulimia. I was able to quit it. I could write a book. I keep saying I need to write a book about what I went through to do that. The gist of what happened for me to give up the bulimia was that through therapy, I learned why I did it, some of the stuff about why I did it. And I started accepting it. I accepted it. I didn't beat myself up for it. I didn't shame myself for it. And I realize now, looking back, that I defused a lot of the bulimia and the binging by accepting it and not beating myself up, because it turns out that for me, at least, the purging was very anesthetizing. I would go into the bathroom and come out like Superman. I would come out like I had snorted a line of coke, and I was happy as I could be. I was cleansed. I was pristine. I was pure, and I was numb. And those last, I was 26 years old. The last meal I threw up was my birthday dinner when I turned 26. So when I quit the bulimia, I had been practicing it for my entire teens and all of my 20s to that point. So I was a bratty little 10 or 12 or 13-year-old girl in a 26-year-old woman's life. And I didn't have any, I didn't know how to handle any feelings. I didn't know how to handle boredom or tedium or frustration. I didn't know how to handle anything. It's funny, there I was in a school at the time where I had lots of hours of lectures in the morning, and we could miss some of these lectures because other people could take notes, and we passed around notes, and so it was a lot of people missed those lectures. There were so many hours of lecture that lots of people didn't go to all of them. But I would be going to go to my 8 a.m. lecture. And I just could not stand the idea of sitting there listening to a biochem lecture. So I'd go to Dunkin' Donuts, get a dozen donuts, get a bunch of milk, eat all of it, throw it up. And then by 9 a.m., I'm sitting in the second hour of the biochem lecture going, this was nothing. Why could I not get here at the 8 a.m. lecture? Blah, blah, blah. Well, now I realize that I was completely numbed by the purging, and I didn't have any feelings. And the last few years of the bulimia, if I was looking forward to something that night, I didn't have any binging or purging during the day. Because if I got to the date or the party or the movie or whatever it was I was looking forward to, I wouldn't enjoy it. I would be just completely, I would be numb, even if it had happened hours before. I would always do it when I got home. I was never going to let go of my buddy, my friend. I wasn't ready to let go of it, but I was able to put it off and not do it if I was looking forward to something. But normally it was two or three times a day, and on really bad times, maybe there would be a month or two here or there where it'd be five or six times a day. So it was really occupying a lot of my life. When I put the bulimia down, I just was binging, And I gained 30 pounds in 3 months. And that is kind of was my MO. When I would relapse, I would gain, I've done it 2 or 3 times. I've gained 30 pounds in 3 months. And that's what happened then. And then I kept thinking, I'll get over this and I'll put the food down and I'll be fine in another day, in another day, in another day. And if I had known that I was gonna gain that much weight that fast and be just full to here all the time, I don't know if I would have been able to let go of it. But I finally thought, well, maybe I'm just a complaining compulsive overeater now, and maybe OA will work for me now. And I did go to those serious meetings. I went to those serious meetings because I was ready. And also, I was an atheist. And so the whole spiritual part of that program was, I ignored that the first time around. And I remember the first time I went back to a meeting. It was a big meeting. It was a candlelight meeting in somebody's living room, and everybody in the room except for me and a couple of newcomers had been abstinent for at least a few months, and one lady a year. And she was sponsoring a lot of other people, and they were sponsoring people. And OA was starting to boom in Oklahoma City in 1982. And I was so attracted to the meeting because everybody in there was explaining, well, I don't know what the step was. They were talking about something far ahead of me, but everybody was sharing what it had been like, what happened, and what it was like now. And I knew that they had been where I was and they weren't there now. And I wanted that. And as I pulled myself out of this big opulent couch when the meeting was over, I had this feeling of dread or fear and trepidation, but excitement. Because I knew from what they had shared that I was going to have to look at the spiritual thing, and that I was going to be on some kind of a spiritual path, which I didn't believe in any of that. So it was scary. And it was that same feeling that you would have when you're on a roller coaster and you're locked in and it's starting to go up and you're not getting off of it, but you haven't done it yet. And it was like, oh, I'm getting ready to go on a ride. So I was very, very, very active in OA as far as going to meetings, doing prayer, meditation. Other people from Oklahoma have heard me say this before. My disease got me on my knees. I was not a bit interested in exploring God or higher power or anything like that. I had been fired by a couple of sponsors because I wasn't serious and they were busy and they had lots of people that wanted them to sponsor. And so they let me go. And the last lady in the room that was available, my perception was if it didn't work with her, I wasn't going to get it. And if any of you have been around a long time, it was Lois. And she was in my face anyway. But it worked for me because I was desperate. I perceived that there was that if it didn't work with her, I wasn't going to get this wonderful recovery that everybody had. And one of her requirements was that I prayed. She said she didn't care if I didn't believe, but she wanted me to roll out of bed and ask for abstinence, among all the things that everybody else was saying, like go to 3 meetings a week, make 2 phone calls every day, call her every day. The food plan at the time that everybody was using, the gray sheet was over there on the table, but nobody was really talking it up. 3 meals a day, no food snacks. And if that, if, and I think if the food plan for me at the time had been anything more organized than that, I don't think I could have done it. I was coming from eating all day, grazing all the time. I needed just something where I had a meal, I had a not meal, I had a meal, I had a not meal. The very first time I prayed with not one shred of faith, I just did it so she wouldn't fire me. I looked at the bedspread, said, help me stay abstinent today. The next day, when I was rolling out of bed and looking at the bedspread, I thought, what did I eat? I couldn't remember what I'd had the day before. I had had the first experience in 14 or 15 years of not having any food thoughts, just eating at a mealtime and going on about your business. And I started from then praying and learning that if I prayed, I'm changed in a way that I didn't control. And it's still true to this day. So I've had 42 years of abstinence from the bulimia. I almost slipped at 24 years. I just almost slipped, and it showed me that I'm still bulimic, even though I'm not really afraid of it anymore. And But in these years, and I've been in OA since 1978, except for 11 years, when I first moved back to Oklahoma, and I couldn't find a good meeting, and I worked out of town, and I was thin, and I was abstinent. I just had a 2-year-old child, and I'd been abstinent all her life and all her preg the pregnancy. I'd been absent about 2 or 3 years, and I just,
5 minutes.
thank you. So during those 11, I just walked away from OA, and it took me a few years to realize that I'd even gained any weight. I wasn't binging or anything. But one of the things I thought of during those 11 years that I was out of OA was how poor, what poor decisions I was making. I made bad decisions on getting married. I made bad decisions on buying a house, money, relationships, just tons of things. And I remember thinking when I was in OA, and it was because I was doing prayer and meditation, and I was listening to my higher power, and I was being changed every day, and that's why I was making good decisions. But I remember thinking, I need to get back to OA, because when I was in OA, I was making much better decisions. I'm going to look into that, and I'll go back to OA next week. And I did that for 4 or 5 years, until one day, I wanted to go to the cafeteria at the hospital where I was working and get enough to-go meals, make them think I was buying food for other people, and go find a place to hole up and eat it. And I had slipped back into that binge mode, and that's when I got my butt back in the meetings. And so I came back to OA in 19 or 2001. Was so grateful that it was there. I made the commitment then. I was never leaving. I was going to be here. I was going to try to help OA be here and be here for other people, and be there when they were ready, because it was there when I was ready. One thing, back in the 80s, I could eat desserts. I could eat a dessert at a meal and it didn't bother me. And I spent 17 years back in OA trying to be like that. And the fact is if I ate a dessert on Monday, I wouldn't be abstinent by Wednesday. I would be grazing, and I just didn't want to give them up. And I was overweight by 15 to I was overweight by 30 or 40 pounds a lot of that time, but maybe I wasn't binging. And I was the my big thing, and I know I don't have that much time left, is that when I was serious about OA in the early 80s, when I came back and I let go of the bulimia and I started praying, I had a spiritual life, and I was praying every day. I have the journals to show it. I was writing every day. And when I walked away, accidentally, unintentionally walked away from OA in when I got back to Oklahoma, I had let that spiritual life go. I had let it drift away. And so when I got in, so I didn't have anything to depend on. And when I got back to OA and I came in, I never did get a real good practice going. And so I never really stayed absent. I mean, I lost weight. I went on the HAL food plan. I went to HAL meetings some. But there's a weight that I would get down to for about a week and then bounce right back up. And I finally realized that nobody is going to come to my door and tell this lady that she needs to do something, because nobody cares if I'm 30 or 40 pounds overweight. Nobody cares. And I was missing out on a lot of life. I regret some of the things and the ways I've parented my 36, now 36-year-old daughter, because I wasn't seriously abstinent most of those years. About 6 years ago, I got a sponsor, because I realized that nobody's going to make me get any better. I could just wallow through life, coast, go downhill slowly. Nobody cares. And if I don't do something, I'm going to look back and go, why did I just not, for me, it's not that I'm going to gain 100 pounds, or it's that I'm going to be doing nothing but thinking about watching TV, having a snack. I'm just going to be doing nothing. I'm going to have an empty life, and I don't want that. And so what happened is I started working with a sponsor, and She didn't tell me I couldn't eat sugar, but she asked me about what I was, oh, I got 7 seconds left. She would ask me about what I was eating, and I would say, well, it's sugary, but it's got sugar in it, but it's okay. Didn't bother me. And so I just got tired of talking to her about what I was eating. And so I quit eating sugar just so I didn't have to talk to Leanne about it. And about a month or so into that, I realized that I had a completely different relationship with regular food. And I made a commitment then that I wasn't going to pick it up again. And it's been 6.5 years, and this is the longest period of time I've been abstinent in all the 40 something years since I went to OA. And it and so the I got all sidetracked talking about all those old things. The thing that's really important to me now is, one, I have a prayer life, and I almost every day I read the journals. I mean, I read the Voices and the Four Today and some other ones, and I do some writing and I make contact. And I'm not, and I've lost that 30 pounds. And this is the first time since I was 13 that I've maintained a somewhat normal weight for more than a few minutes. I realized that I had perceived myself to be unacceptable. Something is definitely wrong with me all these years. And when I would lose weight, I wouldn't know who I was because I always thought my body was unacceptable. And I had to learn to say, it's okay. It's not perfect, but it's okay. I'm not, trying to change it. And I look now for eating in such a way that I don't turn on the phenomenon of craving, and I want to have sobriety with the food. I don't want to be playing games with it and going, well, this is on my food plan, so I can eat this. I want not to be using food in any way. And of course, that's perfection, and we can't be perfect. We have to eat. But I very much want to be conscious of what it is that I do that turns on the phenomenon of craving, and not turn it on. Because if I do turn it on, I don't have any control over when I'm going to turn it off, when I'm going to be willing to do what I have to do to let it go. Because it is so, and I haven't lost my abstinence, but I have had the phenomenon of craving turned back on at times during this last few years, and I don't have control over when I get willing. Sometimes I have to gain 5 or 10 pounds, or not 10, but I have to gain some weight, or I have to be scared about it. And so I really am looking today at, I'm doing everything that has nothing to do with food. I'm active in with sponsees and going to meetings and doing those things, and I'm retired, and so now I'm learning how to be a retired person. But I want to have sobriety with food so that I'm not letting food be anything more than the nutrition that I need to get through the day. And I get to enjoy it. I'm so grateful that I'm a compulsive overeater because I get to enjoy food, and there's hardly any 12-step programs where you get to enjoy the thing you're abstaining from. I get to enjoy food, and I also get a barometer throughout the day to tell me how honest I'm being about my feelings, about my conscious contact with my higher power, because I have to pick up food. And if I am rushing into the kitchen to get something to eat because I can, because it's mealtime and I'm really not even hungry, then I'm not being honest with myself. So I wouldn't have had the life I've had, and if I hadn't been in the program, and I wouldn't have worked this program if I didn't have this eating disorder. So I'm very grateful for it. Because I would not have worked that hard on myself just for that sake. I have to do it, or I'm going to be back in the food, and that's going to be the only thing I'm thinking about. And so I'm so grateful that OA is here. I'm grateful for the guys that founded it and all those things, and I've gone over, so I'm going to stop.